Welcome to episode 15 of TWIP Family. You've got kids, you've got a camera. We're going to talk about getting great photos of the people in your life. You know, the ones that jumped in and out of the pool tirelessly this summer? At the end of the summer, my son passed the deep water test at our local pool, which meant we spent the whole time at the deep end, jumping in, getting out, jumping in, getting out. He would design some different fancy jumps that involved twists and things, but mostly we just stuck with the classics. I'm your host and queen of the cannonball, Jenny Stein. On this show, I have Rick Salmon. I've been reading his book since I picked up my first digital camera. Rick has written more than 30 books. His most recent book is Creative Visualization for Photographers. He tells us what he means by that. He talks about visualizing the end result when you take a photo, much like you visualize the meal that you're going to put on the table before you start sauteing the onions. He has so much to offer in this show, and at the end, we have another giveaway. Hooray! I hope that you enjoy the show. Hello, Rick.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show. This is totally cool.
Yeah, it is very cool, and I'm really excited. I wanted to tell you a story about when I first got my... So I've been doing photography since college, but about 7 years ago, I decided to get a digital camera. I waited. I'm not an early adopter, but I went to the... What I do when I don't know about something is I just go to the library, and what was at the library but a ton of your books?
Oh, cool.
And that is how I got to know your work, and I got different... I got different authors, and you were definitely my favorite.
Well, wow. Thank you so much. That's cool. That's good to know.
Yeah. One thing we have in common is that we both love the book Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott.
Oh, yeah. This is a great book. It's a, you know, it's a book on writing and about life, but I think it's great for photographers because, you know, the message is, you know, do things little by little, right? You can't learn like everything in Photoshop or, you know, even if you have an iPhone camera, you can't learn all the different things, you know, the panorama setting, the this setting, the that setting. So it does take a while. So I tell people, slow down, do things bird by bird or one at a time.
Right. That's the, and you even in your new book, which Creative Visualization, is that,
yes,
that's your newest book, right? It's very new.
Yeah, it's my 36th book, A Creative Visualization for Photographers. And, you know, we talk about, you know, envisioning the end result. But, you know, we do that in photography, but we also do that like in cooking, right? If you're cooking for your family, you're envisioning the end result. So you're putting in all these ingredients. So you come up with a good end result. And so it's the same thing with photography. We have to envision that end result so we know where we're going. And if we don't know where we're going, how the heck are we going to get there?
Right. I love that analogy to cooking.
Yeah.
I never thought about that with cooking, which is interesting too, because even though you envisioned an end result, it's not always what you end up with.
Well, and it's the same with photography, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Sometimes you get an accident, or an invention, and it's all good. So, you know, I think there's never been a more exciting time to be a photographer. And, you know, I have like thousands of pictures, and I'm so glad I'm on your show because, you know, my most important pictures are the pictures of my family for sure.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's what I want to talk about, is photographs of your family and some of your experience photographing your family. Because that is, I think for a lot of people, that's their most important photos, right? They're the ones that they don't have to be. I recently started scanning some old slides that my parents took, and they don't have to be like out of this world, great composed, great exposure, nothing. It's just like there's something about just seeing them that... They're really meaningful.
Well, actually, I think my most important picture is a picture I took of my father, you know, a few months before he died, which was about 5 years ago.
Okay.
And, you know, it's not the greatest picture, but it just means so much to me. And I encourage people, you know, photograph your loved ones because you just never know. And I knew it was going to be the last picture I took of him, and he knew too. So I wouldn't say it was awkward, but...
Tell us more about that. Tell that story a little more.
Well, he's 92, right?
Okay.
So he lived a great life. And, you know, we're in his like den and the light was coming through the window. He's in his robe on his walker and stuff like that. I could send you a picture if you want.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, this could be the last picture I took of him. And he's looking out the window. And some people said some really nice things about how this picture affected them. But again, it's not an art shot. It's just... It's just a picture of my dad.
But it's meaningful. I've noticed something. So I just mentioned this on one of the other shows to encourage people to take pictures. It's really easy to take pictures of adorable kids, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, they're just so alive and everything. But I was encouraged. My grandmother is 94.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we just had her 94th birthday. But now, since then, she's close to death. And like you said, it's not, I mean, she's lived a really full life. So there isn't a sad feeling about it. But at the same time, it made me really glad for all of the pictures I took, even when she was 90. Like, you don't really realize that someone's going to age a lot. Like, when someone's 90, that they're going to look older.
Right.
You know?
Well, at 65, I know what it's like.
So also, I've noticed, I'm interested if you have anything to say about this. I feel like people go through a stage, like my mom's in her 60s. I feel like people go through a stage where they're like, don't take a picture of me. Like, they don't like how they look. And then right. I've noticed as they get older than that, they don't mind anymore. Like, they get to a point, my grandmothers have gotten to a point where I have my grandmother in Arizona. I remember her when I was using a large format camera at the time. I was in college, so I was doing, and I took, she was just standing there and she's like, get all the wrinkles. Like, she was, and it was so great, you know, that she was just like, owned how she looked in a way that was really cool.
Well, actually, excuse me, someone said something to me lately, or about me. They said, I like photographing young girls and old people.
They noticed that from your work?
Yeah, like models,
yeah.
Right? I love photographing, you know, models with great makeup. And I like photographing old people, like, around the world. So it's good.
Yeah, yeah. And you do. You photograph people all around the world. Do you find that people are feel differently in different places of the world about having... Of course they do. But, I mean, what have you noticed about the way people feel about having their picture taken in different places you've been?
Well, the most important thing, whether you're photographing, you know, your father, like I did, or... Mm-hmm. Someone like in Thailand or Cambodia or Bhutan or Nepal, all these places that I've been to, is to respect the subject. This is the most important thing. And if you respect the subject, they know this. So, like, say you're going into a Buddhist temple, you take off your shoes, you show respect, you're quiet. So I think if you respect the subject, like, out of all the times, I've been doing this, taking travel pictures since 1975, and only one person said no to me.
Wow.
Now, well, and there's a person in China who actually chased me down the street with a bamboo stick, but it was an early experience, and I learned. But I know now, I could look at someone and I say, that person doesn't want their picture taken.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to respect the customs, and you have to give back. Like, I'll make a donation. If I'm photographing, like, in a small village, my wife and I will make a donation to an orphanage or a charity in that village through the guide.
Yeah. Well,
so, and you have to promise to send pictures and stuff like that.
Right. Well, going back to your family, I think that actually really connects too, even though they're your family, they're so close, but to respect their part of the photo, you know, like, to be respectful of your kids when you're photographing them, right?
Oh, yeah. And, like, in other words, if they don't want their picture taken, don't take their picture.
Right.
You know?
I do that. My kids definitely tell me no, and I don't do it. And then sometimes they ask me to, and I do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to be sensitive. Now, there's a great book out called Emotional Intelligence. And in this book, the author talks about the importance of being emotionally intelligent. And he talks about most of the famous people in the world are emotionally intelligent. And most of the people who are doing well are emotionally intelligent. And emotional intelligence is way more important than intellectual intelligence, I think, and he thinks.
Yeah. And so what's interesting with photography is it's this interesting mix of technical stuff.
Yep.
And what you're talking about, which is the connection that you have with
your
subjects.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a really interesting mix. And so when you think back, how old, your son is Marco, right? After Marco Polo, right?
Yep, that's it.
And
you have read my books.
Of course I have. Wasn't pretending. I love him. So how old's Marco now?
Well, actually, he's 24, and I'm driving him in 2 weeks to, we live in New York. I'm driving him to Northwestern University outside of Chicago, where he's going for his PhD in finance. So,
oh, cool. So you've kind of seen. Well, do you still take? What's your relationship now as far as taking pictures of him now that he's?
Well, he doesn't like it.
You know, he doesn't like it.
It's like one too many. But he really helped me. Like, I have a ton of pictures. I sent you some. They're in my books. But, you know, I never, if he didn't want to do it, you know, I didn't. I really didn't want to force it. But, you know, whether you're photographing your kid or your parents or someone in Pago, I think the most important, and no matter what camera you're using, I think the most important thing is to remember this saying. And the saying is, the camera looks both ways.
Yes.
In picturing the subject, you're also picturing a part of yourself, meaning that the mood, the feeling, the emotion that you're projecting, that's going to be reflected in your subject's eyes and their face and their body language. So, you know, a simpler way to say that, of course, is that you're a mirror.
Yeah. But,
you know, and I'm very, very conscious of that, no matter whom I'm photographing. I'm always thinking about that the camera looks both ways.
I love that. I remembered that from when I first started reading that quote. It's a really neat, and also just thinking of the things, not only is your subject responding, though you're also showing stuff about yourself by what you're choosing to take pictures of.
Well, that's true.
You know, that's true.
Like, you go through all my 36 books, you're not going to see a picture of, you know, people suffering in India, which I've seen, but I just don't photograph that. So, you know, I'm a very upbeat, positive person. And although that saddens me, I choose not to photograph that. So the camera looks both ways, even if you're photographing a landscape. Like, I go on some photographer sites, and all they have is, you know, peaceful landscapes with no people in them. And I realize the person probably wants to be alone out there in nature, which is cool.
Yeah, it kind of tells you about them. So what, when you were photographing Marco and your family life, what were the things that you were drawn to photographing, to remembering?
Well, I think, you know, I wanted to capture a special moment for me that I could relive, but also I wanted to capture that moment for him. So, you know, I knew like he was going to go through the teenage years, the tough years, the independent years, and, you know, then he's going to get married and go off. But, you know, maybe when he's my age, I figure, you know, I look back and say, you know what, my dad really loved me. And I think that's what a picture can do. You know, he'll look at these pictures of, you know, of us, you know, shoveling snow in the driveway, a simple picture like that, or we're on a boat, you know, on the Circle Line going around New York City, or I'm at his graduation, or we're just playing guitar down by the river. So I think, you know, maybe it's a little selfish, you know, to be honest. You know, I want him for me, but I also want him for him.
Well, I think it goes, I think that goes both ways too. I mean, yeah, it is for them. And I think that it can be. Now, sometimes if we get kind of caught up in the technical stuff or we take too many pictures, I mean, we can get to a point where we're not really seeing our kids as clearly. But I think that there is that feeling like, well, they noticed, like if you take a picture of something that your kid, like this is what I do, like if there's my daughter who's 4, likes to, she still uses both of her hands to write with. So she'll be sitting there, and if it's on the one side of the page, she'll use that pencil, and the other side of the page, she'll use that pencil. It's very cute. And that's what's neat for me, is being like, I would like her to see that I was noticing that about her.
Right.
And
right,
treasuring
right,
that yeah, about
yes.
her.
And that's a good word, treasuring. You know, these are treasures.
Yeah. Can you think of a time, or, well, one thing I wanted to ask is, do you feel like, how did you get, do you have pictures of your family together? And if you did, how did you do it when you were the photographer?
When, you mean when I was growing up or my family now?
Oh, I was thinking your family now, like how did you get yourself into a picture?
Yeah, well, we were down in Panama and we're in this on this island, the San Blas Islands. It's one of the pictures that I sent you.
Uh-huh.
We're like kind of like in the jungle, and I just asked one of the local Kuna Indians actually to take our picture. So, and we do that all over. So I love having these family shots, you know, for me and again for my son.
Yeah. Well, and then you brought up like your family growing up. Do you have a lot of pictures of you growing up?
Yeah, my father, you know, had pictures and movies, 16mm movies, by the way.
Yeah.
So, in some of these, you know, it's really fun to see them because, you know, I can see, hey, he took the time out to, you know, capture, you know, part and preserve part of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have? Yeah. That is what it is saying. Is that feeling like, oh, we're noticing this, and we laugh over some of our family videos, the ones that my mom took of us.
I bet. Yeah, right.
It's funny. And it does tell about her. Like, I think when you said that there's a video we have, or like it was a Super 8 of my brother riding a bike, learning to ride a bike. And so many things. So looking at old photographs, you realize that you're photographing things you don't even realize. Like, I didn't realize he's barefoot on a bike that's way too big for him with no helmet. So you don't realize that in the future, that's going to look funny. Like, people don't do that anymore.
Right.
But then the other part is that he rides around and he loses his balance and he smacks right into this like garage.
Oh, no.
But he's fine. But the funny part that tells about the photographer, this is how you learn about the photographer by what's happening. She doesn't go over to him. Like, he just falls over. She keeps taping. Like, it's just that feeling like she knew he was fine. He gets back up. He kind of looks at her, and then he keeps going.
Fine.
Oh, he was fine. He wasn't going very fast. It was one of his first rides.
Man, oh, man.
Wow. But that's what we laugh about in that.
Yes.
Was like, Mom, look, you didn't put down the camera. You just kept taping.
Right.
So that goes more into your idea of it does go both ways all the time.
For sure.
Do you feel like when he was little, like, how much of that was... Do you feel like changing into digital changed the number of photos you took? Because did his life start out in film and then move over?
It definitely started out in film and then digital. But, you know, on that note, I think it's really important to make prints or books.
Yes.
Like when Marco was about 12, I made a book. You know, you can make books through Blurb or Adorama or wherever. Made a book called Days in the Life of Marco Salmon, and it showed him playing guitar, it showed him, you know, us in Panama, it showed him playing soccer, shoveling snow. So it was a fun little book, Days in the Life of Marco Salmon. And then when he graduated high school, so that was like a Blurb book.
Uh-huh.
But then when he graduated high school, we just bought a scrapbook, and then we printed out all these pictures. Most were digital, but we had some, we made some copies of the prints that we had. We made this, you know, book showing Marco's life, you know, at home, because after high school, he's going to college. And he brings his girlfriend over, and they're flipping through this. And it was such an interactive thing that he was able to share, you know, his life growing up, where I think if you're in digital and you're, you know, going through like a digital file or a folder or whatever, it's not the same. So I encourage parents to make these books that the kids...
Yeah.
You know, you may be surprised how much they cherish it later on in life.
Yeah, there is something different sitting looking through a book together. You're
yes.
right. Do you have any recommendations about how to do that? I mean, I have done some books, but it's still a challenge for me to make that happen.
Well, Blurb makes it very easy. Ampix makes it very easy. Basically, you download software, then you just drag and drop the pictures.
I think Lightroom even has a...
Yeah, Lightroom, exactly. Lightroom, you could do it through Lightroom.
Yeah.
So, and then you could have it printed. So I think this is all, you know, just amazingly easy, amazingly fun, and again, important. You know, what's the most important thing in life? You know, your kids.
Yeah.
And your family, you know, all this business stuff, you know, a lot of it, you know, it's important, but a lot of it is noise.
Yeah.
You know, we have noise in our pictures, but
there's different kinds of noise.
There's a lot of noise.
Yeah, that's right. Do you have any photos when you look back of times of your life when Marco was small, or just any times that you wish, oh, I wish I had taken a picture of that?
Probably not, because I took so many pictures.
You took so many, yeah.
And, you know, there's a picture we have of us, you know, it was snowing. And we have a picture of us in our driveway. And it just captures a special moment.
Yeah. Now, when you're with your extended family, or when you're at some photo gathering.
Yeah, family gathering. Yeah.
Some kind of family gathering. Do you, do people expect you to take pictures?
No, because I don't bring a camera.
Aha, that's what I'm after. Okay. So because you want to just be there?
Yeah, I just want to be there. And there's a, you know, my brother-in-law brings his camera, a little point-and-shoot camera, sets his tripod up and takes, you know, the group shot. So, you know, that's fine.
And that's enough, yeah.
And that's enough, you know.
Yeah, so that's a good way to, like, guide them. Just don't bring it. I've done the same thing.
Because then people are going to, you know, it's like a doctor going to a family party, and if he has a stethoscope on and his white coat, you know, family members go, oh, you know, my back hurts, you know. You know, I just have a quick question, you know?
That's a very funny image. I've never thought of it that way.
Right, so I'm not going to do that.
That is great.
You know, they want free advice, you know?
Right.
You know, my family members, total strangers almost, they want free advice.
That's right.
What kind of camera should I buy? Well,
right. They come right over. Yeah. Oh, funny. So I wanted to talk about, this is from your new book. Well, yeah. So you have a great, at the beginning, well, you have a part, we were going back to Anne Lamott's Bird by Bird.
Yeah.
Like, I like that you actually have a section that you're talking about learning bird by bird in there. But you have a neat, I don't know what to call it. I'll just read these. The four different stages of what a photographer is. And I really loved that. I think it's neat.
Oh, the four levels of learning.
Yeah. Do you want to just go ahead? I have them written down.
Actually, you can.
Go ahead. So there's unconscious incompetence, where the camera's doing a lot of work. You get a few good ones. You don't really know.
You don't know you're not good. Like, you go to the family party. Hey, that's a great shot.
Right. Exactly.
So you're happy. Yeah.
You're happy. But then the next step is you go, you know what? These aren't that good. I want to get better. And that's, you're calling that conscious incompetence. Like, you become aware of the places that you don't know what you're doing.
Well, that's it. And that's why people buy books, go to workshops, do online training, and they know they need help. If they were playing the piano, they take piano lessons.
Exactly. Right. And so that's sort of the bird by bird section, just start with, don't be overwhelmed with the amount of knowledge you don't have. Just think, all right, I am going to figure out shutter speed.
Yep.
Like, I am going to figure out white balance. I'm going to go into Lightroom and figure out this one thing, because they're our computers and cameras have gotten so powerful that I'm sure I don't use my camera to the, you know, limits.
Yeah. And on a more basic level, you know, for the family photographer, you know, okay, next time I go photograph my family, I'm just going to concentrate on the background. I'm not going to take just the portrait. I'm going to take what's called an environmental portrait. You know, my kid maybe, you know, playing with some toys, take it, you know, a shot with the kid with the environment around.
Right.
So, you know, work on the background, work on light, look, see how light is falling on the subject's face, and how shadows are falling on the subject's face, too. So all this stuff, you know, you do it little by little, but it takes practice for sure.
Right. I'm going to read you a quote that I loved from Bird by Bird I'll read it and then we can talk about it a little bit.
Sure.
She says, this is something her Anne Lamott's dad said to her about writing. He says, do it every day for a while. My father kept saying, do it as you would scales on the piano. Do it as a prearrangement with yourself. Do it as a debt of honor and make a commitment to finishing things.
Yeah.
So one thing I like, it's great that you said that about a piano right before I was thinking about this.
Oh, yeah.
That there's something like the idea with when you're playing scales on a piano, you're just practicing and you know you're practicing and you're not trying to impress anybody and you're not trying to create anything new. And I think there's this, I love that idea in that part where you're learning, where you're saying, I tell people when they're trying to figure out how to photograph their family, I say, take an apple outside in some, you know, in a spot and just start. Don't always be trying to figure out your photography at your kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
You know, it's like trying to like play the piano, you know, the first time when it matters.
Right, Carnegie Hall, right.
Right. So don't do it right away when it matters and just let it be sort of in the, just practice. It's really a big part of it, I think, is that practicing. And you talk about Malcolm Gladwell's book and his Outliers, talking about how much practice.
Yeah, that's good. And I have two quotes on writing. One's by Mark Twain. And here's the quote. Writing is easy. All you have to do is cross out the wrong words.
Uh-huh.
That's a good one.
That's good.
Do you know the comedian Stephen Wright?
Oh, yeah.
Here's a good one. He says, I'm writing a book. I've got the page numbers done.
That's a good one for someone who's written 30-some books.
Yeah, that's what I do first, actually. I write the page numbers. So when I get to 350 pages, okay, I'm going to go back.
I'll go back. You know?
And then, on every other page, I start the. I write the word the. And then I'm all set.
You're
good. It's not that hard. You can write 36 books.
You've told us all your secrets.
When my son was young, I had, in school, I had like 25 books. So one of the kids, you know, like in grammar school says, doesn't your hand hurt like writing all these books?
Oh,
that was funny.
That is great. Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, so anyway, to finish the different kinds of incompetence and competence, it's neat. I want to keep going because it's a neat progression that you have. So then you have conscious competence, like you've picked up, you figured things out, and you know
you're good.
You know you're good. And then you have unconscious competence, which is the goal, right?
That's
awesome.
That is the goal. Where, you know, and the analogy, I don't know if I use it in the book because once I write a book, I don't read it. I forget it. But it's like, you know, the great guitar players, Santana, Clapton, if they were like, you know, up on the stage at Woodstock, where I actually was in 1969 and saw Santana.
Nice.
It was awesome. Anyway, they wouldn't be thinking about what notes they're playing, what key they're in, they would just be doing it. And that's the level we have to get to as photographers. You know, if the kids, you know, blowing out the candles on the birthday cake in really dark light, we just have to automatically know. We have to boost up the ISO. We have to expose for the highlights. We have to watch the background. We have to watch, make sure we have a fast enough shutter speed not to get a blurry shot. Make sure our lens is clean so we don't have these flares from the candles. So all this stuff has to be automatic. And the only way you do that is by practicing.
Right, and just little by little. So if you were telling somebody, where would you tell someone to start? Like what bird first?
I would say if you're going to start photographing your family, start with natural light. Mm-hmm. Don't get involved with using the flash, even though it's not that hard. Work with natural light. And a very quick tip is have the subject's nose follow the light. In other words, if they're indoors and they're by a window, have their nose face the light coming in through the window. That should produce a nice, flattering shot. If the subject, you know, by a window and facing away from the window, most of their face is probably going to be in the shade and dark, which could look cool and maybe more creative. But that's a very basic tip. Have the nose follow light. The other thing is, you know, and I think the biggest mistake parents make is they don't see eye to eye. They don't shoot eye to eye with a subject. They shoot down.
Yeah.
So in other words, get on your belly, you know, squat down because, and the same thing with wildlife photography too. If you're seeing eye to eye, shooting eye to eye, the person looking at the subject can relate more to the subject.
Right. And because it's all about, you can have a great picture that everything's right. And if the eyes are not right, forget it, right?
Well, our eyes are drawn to,
you know, eyes.
And when you go through the supermarket checkout stand and you see all those glamour and beauty magazines, you look at the covers. The art directors have, you know, in Lightroom or Photoshop or whatever, have, you know, dodged the whites of their eyes so they're almost as white as the paper. So when you're going through, your eyes are drawn to their eyes. They want that eye connection.
Yeah.
So, and you could do that. Actually, I do that with some of my portraits too. I lighten the eyes just a little to draw more attention to the eyes. Also, a wider eye looks healthier than like a gray eye.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I also, so that also what you're saying about that angle is a huge thing. I feel like that is I did a class for some new moms recently, and that was you couldn't do that with any phone. I mean, with any camera, even your iPhone. I mean, to get down lower, to just change your angle from just where you're standing. It's such an easy thing to do, and it makes the world a difference to pictures.
Yeah, that's why some of these cameras with the flip-out screens are awesome, because you can hold the camera down without getting it down, actually.
Right. So now you have been doing this since time began, and is there anything that still challenges you in your photography?
I would say wherever I go on location, I'm always challenged. Like, I put myself under a lot of pressure. Like, we went to Myanmar, which used to be Burma.
Okay.
And I really wanted to get good pictures, a variety of pictures. So it's a challenge to come back with a variety of pictures from there or Cuba or go up to Alaska to photograph bald eagles or, you know, wherever. So that's the challenge, to come back. You know, because it's being there, you know, because it's, you know, you go to the Bronx Zoo, which is half hour away from here. It's basically the same techniques as you use when you're on the plains of the Maasai Mara. So it's being there and seeing the light and getting up, you know, 3:30 in the morning or whatever.
Yeah. And then a variety of different, you mean like a variety of different kinds of photos from that
trip. Right. And I tell people that, you know, I review a lot of portfolios. I reviewed one recently where the person went to India and they had, you know, 40 headshots of the beautiful people there. But I said, do you have any wide angle shots? Have any environmental portraits? They were all the same. So taking a variety of pictures. And you could do that around your house too. As cute as, even though everyone listening has the cutest kid born in the history of the world or the cutest kids born in the history of the world, you know, you'll want to take those environmental shots so the kid could look around and say, oh, I had that toy when I was a kid, or I had this pet, or, you know, my parents put this picture on the refrigerator behind me.
Yeah, yeah. I think that, it's funny because that one kind of goes in a circle where I feel like the first mistake people make is by not filling the frame with their subject. And then the second mistake they make is always filling their frame with their subject.
Yeah, it's too much dead space, right.
You know, so both happen. You kind of have to go back around in a circle and make a choice.
Right.
Like, well, say, what am I doing?
Well, there is that expression, when you think you're close, get closer.
Right.
And also, you know, there's a big difference between taking a picture and making a picture. So if you have the kid, you know, maybe a toddler, you know, sitting on the floor by a door or by a window, you know, put some props in there, you know, move a plant in the background, you know, create a picture. And, you know, who knows, you could enter the contest, win some money and help to pay these exorbitant college education fee. You'll find out. You have young kids. My son just graduated. actually graduated 2.5 years ago. We felt like millionaires when he graduated from Tufts in Boston.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Because you were done paying for those. So
yeah.
you have an assignment in the beginning of your book about shadows. I like to give people just a quick assignment to do. Do you want to talk about that? Do you know the one
you're looking
I mean?
You're looking at the shadow of Marco, my son?
Yeah.
Okay. So he was making breakfast in the kitchen. It's not the greatest shot ever taken in the history of the world, but it's a beautiful profile of him. You can see his eyelashes and his nose and just a little plate that we have on the wall. So, and I just happened to see those shadows. You know, as a photographer, I guess subconsciously or unconsciously, I'm always looking for this stuff. So, you know, shadows are like, you know, silhouettes. And it takes some of the reality out of the scene.
Yeah.
So I really do like this this picture a lot because it shows him just, you know, making breakfast. It's a nice memory. So and the trick is, when you're doing a shadow, if you want to recognize the person, you probably want to ask the person to move their head a little left or right so you get a perfect profile.
Did you do that in that one?
Yes, because if you look at this picture, if he was looking at me, you know, it could have been you in the picture.
Right.
You couldn't tell who it was.
That's a good point, because I noticed in that one how much detail was in his profile. And so you asked him to look in the right way.
Yes, just now, a little more this way, a little more that way. Yeah.
And it's really neat because I think that is sort of a, you know, he's older in that, right?
Yes. This is only taken a few years ago.
Yeah, and so that's a neat way to get a picture of an older kid who might be kind of not excited about having their picture taken. Yeah. So we're going to wrap up. And one thing I just want to ask is, what kind of camera you use? What are you carrying around?
Well, I just got the Canon 5DS, which is a professional, almost top of the line camera. But I use a Canon 5D Mark III. Sometimes you use a Canon like Rebel, which is an entry-level camera. So all these, you know, there's an expression, cameras don't take pictures, people do.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But I like
to ask, though, because
because
people ask me, what kind of camera is that person using? I said, I don't know, I didn't ask. So,
you know, it's what you're comfortable with. And I've been using Canon cameras since 1995.
You're a Canon Explorer of Light, right?
I am. I'm a proud member of the Canon Explorer of Light program. It's a cool program.
Yeah. And so I often at the end ask for tips, but you already gave a bunch of tips. You have another, I mean, if there's another one you want to say, I don't know.
I would say, you know, have fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, I took the Dale Carnegie speaking course, and they say enthusiasm is contagious. And if you're having fun, the subject's going to have fun. And I find that really to be true.
Right. So if you're behind the camera trying to get a photo of your kid and you're like tortured, it's not going to work.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like if you're like, oh, the light, and because sometimes people are like that. My sister actually said that to me recently, because I'm in more of that. I'm not thinking about the settings anymore while I'm taking pictures. You know, I'm kind of comfortable in
right,
that way.
Right, you're at that fourth level of learning.
Oh, well, I don't, maybe. But I feel like she noticed, she's like, people look comfortable in your photos. And then she said, I noticed that you're comfortable when you're taking them. And she's at a stage where she's sort of figuring a lot out as she's taking them.
Right.
And so I think that's interesting to notice how much you share with your subjects in that time. So having fun, you'll have really, your photos are going to be a lot more fun if you're having fun doing them.
That's right. Your camera looks both ways for sure.
So good. All right. If people want to hear you more and see more about you, where should they look?
Actually, I'm everywhere, but
I know. I was thinking,
I'm all on social media and all over, but just Rick Salmon. It's S-A-M-M-O-N. It's not spelled like the fish. RickSalmon.com. And actually, I pride myself. Everyone who sends me an email, I answer that email.
Oh, that's great. And I want on your podcast, The Digital Photo Experience, one thing I love is that you make it very clear that no question is too stupid. Like, you're like, nothing's too simple. We're here.
No, nothing is too simple.
And that is great, because it's really, I think there's a hard, when people are learning, they're not, it's hard to ask an expert because you feel like you're not expert enough to ask an expert. So you ask someone who doesn't really know that much because it's more comfortable.
Sometimes people are shy.
Yeah. And so you do a great job you're making people comfortable. And so you're also saying that you're just very reachable. You can email Rick and he'll email you back.
I will, for sure.
That is
I promise.
Great. That's great. All right. Well, thank you so much. This is great to talk to you.
Well, thank you. You did a great job. It's so nice to meet you here on the web, and maybe I'll see you at one of these shows or a TWIP event or
someplace. I sure hope so. Yeah, I hope so. All right.
Cool.
All right. Thanks. Well, that is it for this episode of TWIP Family. I hope that you can take something away from this show with Rick and use it right away in your family photography. I feel like he had so many great ideas of things that you could do. So let me know in the comments for this show if there's anything that you could use right away. I would love to hear about it and post a photo. I love to see your photos. Anyway, you can hear more from Rick on his podcast, The Digital Photo Experience, and check out his new book, Creative Visualization for Photographers. Rick is also giving away 5 copies of an ebook that he has called Get Motivated and Stay Inspired. If you go over to the webpage for this episode on thisweekinphoto.com/family, I'll have all the details about the giveaway. And now, share the show. You can share it on Twitter, which I just signed up for. I know, I'm late to the party. I've said before, I'm a late adopter, and this is more evidence. Anyway, share the show on Twitter, and you can become one of my very first followers. You can find me at Jenny J. Stein. And also, go over to iTunes and rate the show. It really makes a difference. It helps people find the show when people rate it, then it's easier for other people to find when they're searching for a podcast about family photography. And if you have a minute before your kids start throwing things at each other while you're over there rating it, join some recent reviewers like Paul R. Pitt and Cincy Photog and Jem Brex and Miles From Now. They wrote some reviews this month. Join them. Write a review. It means a lot to me. And as always, ask me your questions. I feel like Rick does. No question is too simple or too technical. If I can't answer it, I'm going to call Rick up and get his help. Anyway, email me, jenny@twip.pro. Next week, we're back with a question and answer show. Just one question this time. Simon has a great question about sharing his photos. And that's what we're going to spend the whole episode talking about. And I'll also have a new photo challenge for you. That's next week on TWIP Family.